this one?
This is The Prodigy.
The Prodigy. Okay. Yep. Jane, what do you, how do you rate this one?
Oh, I'm having a ball.
This is all that really matters.
This is a whole new world for me, people.
Oh, it's good stuff. Come aboard, Jane.
All right.
So all are welcome on the music boat.
On the music boat. All right. So we're here with Greg Bach. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We were talking about comedy in general. You were talking about Jordan Klepper and his mastery over improvising when interviewing people, specifically at Trump rallies. And I asked the question of, is it just because I don't find it funny, or is there something inherent that there's less right-wing comics, or at least comics who happen to be more right-wing, but they don't put that into their comedy? And Greg has thoughts.
So I think there are a lot of comedians out there who are conservative, Republican, right-leaning, right-wing, who don't put their comedy, or don't put those thoughts in it, because it's, you know, maybe it's their thought of, like, it's none of anyone's business, this is my thoughts, these are my beliefs and whatnot. But I think when it comes to the putting that out there on television, when basically, like, one of the things is, like, trying to, like, take what the Daily Show, especially Jon Stewart era Daily Show, did, and trying to, as much as they wanted to say it was a liberal show, yes, it was liberal leaning. It had, it made fun of a lot of Republicans. It did make fun of liberals as well. It was more about the hypocrisy of the process versus we're going to make fun of only this group. Whereas the conservatives, Republicans, when it comes to things like the Daily, or the I think it's called the Daily Bee, the, you know, all those others, when they dip their toe into comedy, they're generally going after people and punching down almost always. They're not looking to expose hypocrisy. And if they are, they're not doing it in a funny way. They're doing the whataboutisms of everything. They're not saying, you know, they'll make some lame Hillary Clinton joke, then tie it back to Monica Lewinsky and think they're being hilarious, when really all they're doing is, one, digging up a 30-year-old joke, quote-unquote joke. It's not even a joke. And also, once again, poking fun at this woman who was a young person back in the day who had, like, little power. Like, they're just punching down. There's a great video. There's a guy who calls himself, he goes by Some More News. He's on YouTube, and he did, like, an
Some More News.
Yeah, and he did an hour and 20-minute video about breaking down why conservatives aren't funny, because essentially, when at the end of the day, they are using a formula that's not very good. Like, if they, you know, you could, I think you could have. The thing is, you could have a conservative version of The Daily Show, but unfortunately, it already exists. It's called The Daily Show, in the sense where they do make fun of Biden. They do make fun of Nancy Pelosi. They might not do it as much as you like, but they're still calling them out, making fun of them, and making jokes. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it better because they have smarter writers who know where to find the jokes. It's not about going after what Nancy Pelosi looks like. It's going about the fact that she is a multimillionaire octogenarian who has had a lot of power in her life and isn't in touch with the people anymore. You can make those jokes. And some would even say you don't even go after her age, but I mean, whatever. The point is conservative type comedy shows like this, and, like, one of the best examples is, I think his name is Jesse Waters. His last name is Waters, W-A-T-T-E-R-S. He's on Fox. He's now a anchor because he was so unfunny they couldn't make this bit work, but he would do a Daily Show type of man on the street, and he did one where he interviewed he went to Chinatown to talk about the election, I think back, this was 2016, and then what the Daily Show did, they Ronnie Chang got on there and just ripped him apart, because all they did was he would interview people who couldn't speak English. He would interview these old people who didn't understand him, and then they make fun of him by playing bumper music of, like, kung fu fighting, and he would go, like, it was awful. And that's what they think is funny. That's what they think their version of the Daily Show is, which it's just making fun of people. And if you don't like it, you're too sensitive. Too sensitive.
You just ruined comedy.
I'm a comedy ruiner, friends. You guys want to listen to some Andrew Dice Clay cassette tapes?
Greg, in order to be funny too, don't you have to have a sense of self-awareness and a sense of irony?
Yes, I think the best comedians do. Absolutely. I think the best comedians have to understand that who they are, even if they have a high opinion of themselves. I mean, there are comedians out there who love themselves, and you know, their names rhyme with Maeve Tappell. He thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And some people think he's the greatest comedian who ever lived. And that's fine. Those are all opinions you can have. But yeah, you have to have a sense of self. You have a sense of irony. You have a sense of, you know, that you're not like the, I don't know, like, I think that
you're still the jester.
You're the jester. We're the messenger. We're the ones who can make fun of the king or the queen. We're the ones who have to do it in a smart way so we don't get beheaded.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of comedians out there who are great at it, and many of them you've never heard of. And, but when it comes to like the conservative, like I remember one year I saw a guy, he, you know, very rightfully so, I think he writes for the Daily Bee now. He's a right-wing comic, and he got on stage and he made people laugh. He really did. But like, even still, I'm like, God, your jokes are still like based in this meanness. Like, you have to have the right audience to make that work, because if you walk into the wrong place, they're going to devour you.
Well, yes, you also have to be somewhat likable. Like, I remember when I was first starting to do comedy in New York, and I was taking like an intro stand-up class. And the teacher was talking about, I can't even remember the other comic he was referencing, because that guy never became famous, but he was like an unbelievable writer.
Yeah.
But he wasn't as likable as Jerry Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry Seinfeld became Jerry Seinfeld, who is also a very good writer.
Yeah.
But he was saying that there's a certain amount of like the comics that we know, you still kind of have to root for them. Like, you can't just be a despicable person and think that you're going to be a super successful comic, because if you don't like, even if the things that they're saying on stage are funny and well written and clever, like, there's a charisma there that you gotta kind of be rooting for the person. And if you're just mean, it's hard to convey that.
You have to have charm. Yeah. You have to be able to say, like, if you were going to be one of those mean people, like, one of the best examples, and he was never, you know, this argument can be back and forth, but Don Rickles. People would go to Don Rickles shows and want to be made fun of for the things that people get angry about now, they're going to go to that show back then and say, make fun of that. Destroy me. I want you to take everything that I'm sensitive about and just say it out loud for everyone to laugh at. And I've seen him do it. I saw him do it. It was amazing. And everyone was laughing and everyone was together. But he has that charm. And I think it's a couple things. One, lightning quick wit, a pedigree and a legacy that is like, you know, 60 years in. And also, at the end of the day, he gets off stage and he's the kindest, gentlest man there is. He's super, I mean, he's loving and he's connective to his people, to his audience. The way he tells stories, I mean, they should have made a documentary about Las Vegas where he was the only person interviewed, because he had all those amazing stories. So I think you have to, you can say mean things, and I'm not huge, and that's not how my comedy works, but you do have to have a charm. You have to be able to say something and be like, but you're still great. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and once again, I'm sure we could hear tweets or messages saying I'm wrong, and that's fine. Maybe I am, but I also know when I'm on stage, I don't do that.
All right. Always interesting to talk comedy with you. But when we come back, our friend Dan Schaefer is going to talk to us about
Dan Schaefer
about being on the homepage of the New York Times. Kind of a big deal. All right. We'll be back after the news.